world where you have to stay inside and listen to this shitty-ass podcast. It's the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, I just want to go outside, man. I'm done. I'm done with this game.
You're done with this game?
I'm done with this game. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with this game. Like, today's Easter. A little peek behind the scenes. Today we're recording on Easter morning. And I'm supposed to be, like, hanging out with my family today. Or I could just be sitting at home drinking beer and pretending that I want to be hanging out with my family. I can say that because none of my family listened to this, so it's cool.
You know, well, the problem is like, I can't even, like, I just want to go outside and have a beer, man. That's what it's coming down to. Like, I can't even, like, it's just, that's the problem. Like, it's like, okay, cool, I have to stay inside. And then it's like, all right, now you can't go and do some of those other things. Okay, after 2 weeks now, I'm like, okay. Like, it's like, now you got to figure out, how do you get a haircut? All right. So, you know, had to do a self-cut, and hopefully it looks good with a little bit of help.
That's why I'm just a good thing. I just pretty much shaved my head.
Pretty much, right.
Except I did make a sacrifice today, Sean.
Did you shave your beard off?
I didn't shave it all the way off, but I trimmed it all the way back down to where it's like goes back to its shortest that I'll tolerate it.
So would you shave it with like an 8 or something?
6.
Oh boy, that's pretty short.
Yeah.
I almost did that to my beard, but I did not.
Because my beard was a good like 3 or 4 inches long. It was like getting like back to its glory days. Which is fine, except when I have to wear a mask at work and I get all my face pubes in my mouth.
That does happen sometimes.
That's pretty much the only reason I got rid of it. It's like, well, if I have to, I'm not going to like be like sitting there tasting my beard the whole day.
Just chewing on it? No.
Yeah, pretty much. Good. It's like, well, I can't take it out of my mouth because I can't. That means I have to take the mask off, or then I have to go like go get a new pair of gloves because take these gloves off to fix my beard. I'm like, you know what? I'll just take one for the team. Shave it off. And by the team, I mean my team, me. Team me.
Oh, fair. Except enough.
My wife has been giving me the, I like your beard a lot like this. And I'm like, so do you like, that means you like it better than this? She's like, no, I like them both equally. And I'm like, really? Because you never said you liked my beard.
Until now.
As long as you are now, when it was longer. You never once said that.
And then you'll trim it shorter, then she's going to go, I love your beard even more.
No, she likes it when I have a beard because it covers my face. Her words, not mine.
Oh, she's just like, if you could, like, put something over your head. I guess, you know, there's a bag. I guess beard is, like, one step below that, below bag.
Right, because I can take it wherever. I don't have to worry about getting a new one or it blowing off or getting dislodged or something. It's permanently attached to my face.
It does have, the beard over the bag does have some perks.
Plus, if I buy fancy beard oils, she can, like, smell it.
Oh, like, that's fair.
The smell of the fancier ones.
Which beard oil do you use?
I bought a new one recently. I bought it, well, not recently, but it's a new, I can't, it's one based in, like, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but, like, I bought, like, a variety pack. There was, like, 12 different, like, 1 ounce tasters, basically.
Tasters?
Yes.
Do you put it in your beard, then put your beard in your mouth to taste
only
it?
Only when I'm wearing my mask. Luckily, the one I'm on now is, like, citrus, so it wasn't so bad.
Fair enough. No, because I use a company for my beard called Can You Handlebar. And it's probably not like the most expensive beard oil that you could get in beard shampoo you could get, because I'm sure there you go to the mall you could get ripped off there, but I get them online, but they're pretty expensive. But one of the things I have noticed is it feels like it does the most conditioning and most softness to my beard out of all of the product that I've used. Cause I've like was using a product and then I switched it. And even my girlfriend like noticed, was like, how'd your beard get even more softer? I'm like, well, damn. If I was using product and I switched and it's significantly different, it's got to be pretty good.
Yeah, because I did buy like the unscented beard oil and the beard wash from Can You Handlebar. And then I bought from another company called The Beard Struggle, I bought some shampoos and conditioners to see how they are. They're like, because they have an unscented variety
See,
where you can get flavor.
I like to do the woodsy smell.
Well, see, I'll buy the unscented wash and then put the scented oil in, unless I'm wearing like a cologne or an eau de parfum or de toilette. I mean, then I'll wear it unscented because then I
Gotcha.
can smell my pretty perfume.
With your man purse.
Exactly. It's a satchel. It's a satchel. Actually, now I have a little. It's just a little backpack, and then I can like wear it with my skirt, as your dad said.
Do you, when you run outside, do you yell backpack to try to get it to pull stuff out for you?
You mean like the new Marvel superhero?
Backpack, pull out my new Warriors outfit. I gotta read about safe space.
Oh man. So, you know how Reddit usually is the bastion of like horrible bad information, Sean? Except
It's like a mix of great information and terrible information all at the same time.
yes. So
Yeah.
there's one subreddit, Data is Beautiful. Somebody, I don't know who, this group, alcohol.org did a study, and I don't know exactly the criteria, but basically they called got a did a survey of people in America working from home, and they asked about their day drinking habits while working at home. And so they said that beer is the drink of choice for workers who drink during work hours. It says over one in three say they're likely to drink more alcohol in isolation, and one fifth of the people respondents said that they stockpiled alcohol for self isolation. And this is based on like 3,000 people throughout the country. But then they have the map of the United States that you can roll over and see what percentage of people in your state admitted to consuming alcohol while working from home. It looks like Idaho is the highest at like 40. Idaho, Kansas are like the highest at like 47%.
Oh,
Oh,
geez.
never mind. Virginia. I just rolled over Virginia. 50% for Virginia.
That's pretty impressive.
Like some that are down at like 40, 15%, 40% for Nevada. California is at 38. New Jersey is at 35.
Well, I'm not one of them. I actually have to go to work. I don't get the luxury of just hanging out at home and working from home.
Oh, never mind, dude. Fuck Hawaii, dude. I forget Hawaii is a state. Like a lot, like the president forgets that Puerto Rico is part of the country too.
Don't forget about District of Columbia.
So, 67% of Hawaii residents are drinking alcohol at home during work hours.
I mean, technically, if you are twirling your fire stick around and drinking, I mean, I feel like that's just an everyday occurrence.
True.
I'm just saying, bruh.
I mean, yeah, that seems racist, though, Sean. So it's okay. You're white. Everything you say is racist.
I'm just saying. I guess like what do, I guess yeah. I mean, what does Hawaii have? Like they have the pineapples. Like if you're not if they're not part of tourism, you're either in the military or you're working at like the local grocery shop, right?
Probably, I guess. I'm sure they have some sort of businesses, hopefully that aren't completely touristy related, because that would kind of suck for the economy.
Yeah.
Oh man, speaking of drinking from home, Sean, what's your beer of choice for today?
I Believe in Love by Allagash Brewing. Allagash? I can't even remember how to say
I'm pretty sure it's the first one.
it. This is a sour ale aged in raspberries, aged on raspberries and cranberries. It's a 6% ABV, and this is one fancy drink, my friend. So it's got the fancy cork, so you know you got to drink it with your pinky out.
Yeah, you know, you've talked about like wanting to go out and get beer. Like, I can't go drink a beer in public, but like, even today I went real quick and ran to La Bodega and picked up beers because, you know, they made it where you can't necessarily go in the store and buy, but you can phone orders in ahead. And then like, when you get to the store, they'll like, you can call them and say, hey, I'm here. And then they'll take they'll cart it outside to you. And then you can just like pick it up from the cart and then they'll drag the cart back inside.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's weird. Like, everyone's talking about, like, I'm running out of beers during the isolation, and I'm like, my fridge is getting fuller.
They're making it too easy to get beer. Now I don't even have to interact with anybody.
I don't even have to leave my car. God bless Texas. Like, right? Like, I can see the benefit of the drive-through liquor stores in Texas. It's amazing.
Very true.
But, like, for you, though, like, you can order from – I don't have a brewery close enough to me that delivers, but, like, you can order from Double Nickel, and they'll bring it to your front door.
True. I'll have to look at that. That's because we were, like, looking at the Keyser, and we're like, man, we're definitely starting to get starting to run out. Like, we're going to have to start making decisions on life right now.
Right. It's essential. Well, if it's classified as an essential business, then it must be an important trip.
Right.
Look, I'm supporting the economy. Exactly. That's essential.
Exactly.
Like, I saw a tweet on Reddit. Someone was like, you know, the older generations aren't scared of this virus, unlike the younger generation who's even scared of their own shadows. To which somebody replied, I used to have a dog that wasn't afraid of running in traffic. So anyways, back to your beer. I hijacked your beer.
Oh, it's all good, man. No, well, that just makes me laugh because, like, those people are fools.
Yes. like they're, like, mad that, like, people are wanting them to die so we can buy their houses, but yet they're basically, like, committing suicide because they have to go do whatever. I don't know. That's not that important.
Yeah. But no, this is a really good sour ale. Honestly, it's just the cranberry and raspberry just like really balance out the sour taste. It's just a very pleasant beer to drink. This has got to be one of my favorite aged sours right now.
Nice. Yeah, I know Allagash was like one of the first breweries that kind of specialized in making sours. Except like their white ale or whatever I think it is the one that like kind of everybody knows them by. That's mm-hmm. their like that's basically like their Fat Tire or their 805.
Yeah.
Which I think somebody in my complex is like an alcoholic or just really likes the brewery 805 because when I went to take out the trash on Friday, right next to like dumpster was like it was 70 beers worth of there was like a bunch of 12 packs and a 24 pack that added up to 70 beers.
Maybe they just like they were just drinking all the bottles and cans and putting it back in the case. It would be easier to take to the dumpster.
Maybe.
And they were just thinking smarter, man.
Exactly. Work smarter, not harder, but that's a lot of beer, man. There's a lot of 805s. Yeah. The number isn't the the name isn't the number that you have to drink in one sitting.
Dude, people in SoCal love their 805, though. That's, like, the hot new beer out there.
Dude, I think I've told this story before on the podcast, but just in case I didn't, I was working with a guy that had, like, he was, like, from one we were both double shifting, but, like, he was on the, like, we were in the, like, on a shift in the middle, so I was working late and he came in early, and he had an 805 hat on, and I was like, oh, so do you like 805 or other craft beers? And he's like, what's craft beer? I was like, okay, so you just like 805 then, cool. I guess we can't be friends. Nah.
You're like, I don't know why I wasted my breath. This is why I don't talk to humans.
Exactly. Or because it's like, I've learned my lesson too, where people were like sporting teams for the hats versus teams from the sporty ball nature. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, you like this team too? And it's like, oh no, I just like the hat.
Hmm.
Okay, cool. Sorry. Oh man.
What are you drinking, man?
I'm drinking a very thematically appropriate beer for this show, Sean. It's a foreshadowing of things to come. But it's from Gigantic Brewing Company in Portland, Oregon. And they did a whole series. There's six different beers that came out at one point, like slow release. And then like they kind of released them all. They rebrewed them and released them all together again. But it's based on the Hellboy characters.
Oh, nice. Not too shabby.
And so like everyone, like there's like the, you know, they're bit, like the artwork on it is very much like the comic. And so I have Trevor Brutenholm, and it's a British barley wine. And the funny thing is all the beers except for this one, the percentage on it are 666.
I do appreciate that.
Yes, this one is 999. And it's, you know, it came in like a little like easy to drink bottle. It's a little over a pint, 16.9 fluid ounces or 500 milliliters for our metric friends. Mm-hmm. And by our metric friends, I mean the rest of the world except like United States and like one other country that Archer doesn't think usually has their shit together.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, there was a line on the show. It's like, no, who uses metric? And they're like, everybody except the United States and I can't remember the name of the other country. And Archer's like, really? Because you don't think of that other country as a place that has its shit together.
Oh, man. That show was so good in, like, the first couple seasons. It just seemed to get, like, too crazy down the road.
Right. Like, they just had to... They felt like they almost had to top themselves.
Yeah, and it stopped being funny. It was, like, the same gag over and over.
Are we not doing phrasing anymore?
Phrasing? Are we not phrasing?
But yeah, this is, you know, there's definitely a difference between an American barley wine and a British barley wine. And the main difference is the American version, like every other beer, they're like, well, yeah, I like this British version, but can you throw some hops in there? So this is a little more, I mean, it's more hoppy than like a stout or a porter, but it's definitely not like IPA level of hoppy like a lot of the American barley wines kind of tend to go towards. Mm-hmm. And it's got like a nice, you know, they talk about they're supposed to have like raisiny or caramelly taste to it. Oh man, it's pretty easy drinking. I'm just glad it's in like a smaller vessel. I don't think I could drink too much of this. And not because like it doesn't taste good, but because it's probably not good for my body. Plus I can go get another beer. And then make it seem like I'm
enjoying your beer.
Yes. I'm the variety of life. Oh, man. So, Sean.
Daniel.
You know, we've been talking about, like, brought it up in the past, the whole Amber Heard, Johnny Depp situation.
Yes.
And, you know, and everybody wanted Johnny Depp to be fired from all of his movies.
And killed and crucified and beaten.
Basically, until it came out that Amber Heard was, like, the abuser, and everyone was like, oh. Well, yeah, but she probably had reasons to do it. It was, like, it almost was, like, it went from, like, Johnny Depp's a piece of shit to Amber Heard was, like, well, maybe we can just forgive her.
Right.
But then, and it all kind of came out after he filed a lawsuit against her that was, the value of the lawsuit was worth more than she's worth. Like, if she loses, she has to go basically bankrupt because she can't afford to pay him.
Oh, damn.
But then there were like people were like kind of started pushing, and it was officially announced that she's been removed from when they start filming Aquaman 2 and a couple other movies that she was supposed to be part of.
Mm-hmm.
So she got the treatment that she was hoping Johnny Depp would get, I guess, but you know, it's not so pleasant when the shoe's on the other foot, huh?
No, it's definitely not.
And then I guess an assistant came out and said that she was also abusive towards him as well.
Just belittling him?
Yes. Full Russell Crowe, like throwing phones at him and stuff.
Jesus.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, that seems to be like not too out of the ordinary, apparently. That's the way personal assistants in Hollywood are supposed to get treated, according to the TMZ.
That's pretty shitty.
I know. Like, but I guess you...
They're doing a bad job, just fire them. Don't throw your phone.
I think it's not about them doing a good job or a bad job. It's more a thing of you just need someone to blame for something or your stress or whatever.
Fair enough.
and you know you have that attitude. Well, if I get rid of you, then it, you know, it's like everybody wants this job, and then realizing that you treating them like shit is the reason why nobody wants that job.
That's what I think.
Yeah, speaking of jobs that nobody wants because people are treating them like shit. So there's this YouTube video guy named Camelot his like YouTube name, and apparently, you know, he kind of starts his videos with like employees within GameStop sent me this information.
Mm-hmm.
I actually get to say that, Sean. I had a GameStop employee send me one of his videos and told me to check it out. Like, I had already seen it, but it was just kind of interesting that he like was like, "Hey, you do a podcast? Maybe you want to talk about this." And sent me this video, and then I asked the guy. I was like, "Wait, it's like, hey, the guy in the video says that if you mention his name at work, you could potentially be fired." And my source told me that he wasn't directly told by management, but other employees confirmed that with him. That yes, you can't discuss Camelot at GameStop. To which I made a joke that he didn't catch, like most people. I said, it must really be awkward if people want to talk about, like, King Arthur and the Holy Grail. The joke being that they live in the Castle Camelot.
Yes, I got you.
Okay, I figured you got it, but just in case other people didn't, because you actually laughed. He replied back, "Well, it's never come up."
Maybe he just didn't think your joke was funny.
Probably not. But there was like reports out of their regional distribution center in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching this video, and it's like all these things that this guy is like making GameStop out to be like the most horrible company in the world. I'm like, I have to deal with that shit at my job. Because it was like, they're like, yeah, people are scared to come into like miss work because they don't want to get in trouble. And it's like, okay. And they're like,
and then
it was like, and then one of the people, tested positive for the coronavirus, and they didn't want to tell anybody. And I'm like, okay, that happened at my building too. Somebody tested positive for the coronavirus. And it's like, they didn't even shut down for a whole day. They just shut down for like one of the two shifts to sanitize the building. I'm like, I didn't think they closed down the building at all to sanitize my building. I might even wait until like the weekend when we were out, like when the building was closed anyways, to sanitize the building.
Oh man.
So like, but the one thing that does seem kind of shady is the way that they're justifying staying open as an essential business is that they quote unquote have started making hand sanitizer.
Wait, GameStop makes hand sanitizer?
Yes. And basically all their hand sanitizer is like in a little white like squirt type bottle, not even like a spray bottle, but like one of those like squirt bottles that have like you flip up the little lid and you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with a paper sticker print on it that has printed hand sanitizer with no other information, apparently the employees are saying that they're just pouring pure rubbing alcohol into the container and shipping it to the stores, labeling it hand sanitizer.
I guess it's sanitizing your hand, right?
Well, no, because it needs, even if it's like, there's a weird like percentage where hand sanitizer works. It has to be above a certain percent for it to kill the germs. But if it's above a certain percentage, then it almost like stops working.
it's so potent it doesn't work.
Pretty much, yes. And my buddy explained it to me like in better detail because he majored in biology.
Fucking nerd.
And his identity, like microbiology was like his area of expertise, which was cool, like hanging out with him until he studied that, and then like he's the guy that would like examine every drink glass and piece of silverware that he got when he sat down at the table.
We all have flaws, Daniel. Don't you dare! Yes. Don't you dare! Throw a stone at his glass house.
I'm not throwing stones. I'm just stating facts that like he got fucked up when he's studying microbiology, looking for germs and shit. Like he was already kind of a germaphobe before, so it was even worse.
It just escalated.
It'd be like a nymphomaniac majoring in sex ed.
Fair enough.
But you know, because so the guy got one of the quote unquote bottle, like the guy was spraying out the bottle and showing the consistency and stuff, and he's like, look, it's almost pure liquid. And I'm like, yeah, that's funny, because one of the things of hand sanitizer I got at work came out and it was almost just pure water versus some of the other ones we have where it's like actually like a gelatinous substance. Because you're supposed to, like a good drug dealer, you're supposed to cut down your rubbing alcohol with aloe vera.
Gotcha.
And that's usually how, why hand sanitizer has that gelatinous texture to it. So, yeah. But it was just funny. Him like, GameStop is evil because of this. And that, and I'm like, that sounds a lot like where I work. Oh, and I posted on the Instagram, we got a new like gallon jug of hand sanitizer and to refill the little squirt bottles.
Yeah.
And I went to look at it and it was made by Constellation Brands Distillery, which used to be part of, which was made by Ballast Point, and then Ballast Point was sold to InBev.
Yeah.
And then a year later, Constellation was sold to InBev.
Got you.
So, yeah, apparently my company doesn't care about craft versus crap. They're not going to go to any of the local...
They just want cheap in bulk.
Yeah, they're not going to any of the local distilleries like Blinking Owl or Henneberry or any of the other ones that are local and smaller that are making their own hand sanitizers.
Yeah, I guess it would be pretty easy to make it, I guess, from a science standpoint.
Right, and that was one of the things in his argument, too, is, like, you have to be, like, FDA licensed to make hands, you have to be, like, approved by, like, the government to make hand sanitizer and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think you know what you're talking about on that point, because literally every distillery in the country is making hand sanitizer right now.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like during World War II when, like, you know, Ford stopped making cars and started making tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a thing. They're like, dude, let's just step up. Like, we can't afford to give money, but we can, like, give product.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, it's just funny. This guy like GameStop's evil, and I'm like, so UPS is evil too? Is it kind of like that where you work?
Pretty much. But I mean, at this point, like, it's kind of like nobody's getting in trouble for calling out, though. So it's like you don't call out, okay? And then we gave everybody 80 hours of sick time. Any overtime you work is like double time right now. And then if you met other qualifications, you could get additional sick time. But yeah, like nobody's getting like points or anything for calling off. Like we're like basically saying, basically there's like all sorts of advertisement in our building. Like if it's like, if you're sick, stay home, don't come in.
Right.
Like we're not, you're not going to get in trouble. Just stay home.
Yeah. For my job, they didn't do anything different with the pay and they gave us 80 hours more of sick pay.
Mm-hmm.
But that can only be used if you or somebody in your household is diagnosed positive COVID-19.
Oh no! If you get if there's a positive case of COVID, you get to stay at home and get paid. It's not It doesn't even include the 80 hours of sick time. That's just for anybody to use at any time.
Right. So you got additional time. Like so. My point is that mm-hmm. you know your job is better than my job.
True.
Because, you know, they're not testing you unless you're almost, like, to the point of dying. So, mm-hmm. at that point, you probably infected the whole building if you have to be – if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man.
So, it's just weird. But, you know, thank God we have the union, right?
They tried something.
Oh, my God, did they try?
They're probably – and they're probably working from home getting paid.
Yeah, like the GameStop executives. Some of you may die,
and that's okay.
That's a little to take. Oh, man. So, speaking of people that may or may not die, Sean, shocking, you have an anime for us that you watched.
Shocking development. Yes, I watched Infinite Stratos 2. I know we both talked about one many times. And it's almost like I need to go back and watch one because I felt like season two was such a, like, just goofy show. Like, it was really just about, like, it was heavily focused on the harem aspect versus, like, the actual, like, story of, like, a rogue units running around. And it even, like, cliffhangs to where it's, like, you know that now there's these people out there doing stuff. Like, it's set up for like a third season, but I don't know where they're at with it. So it's overall, I think, you know, it was pretty like funny, but it really had like no substance. It was just like a bunch of just terrible like harem jokes throughout the whole season. They did add two new girls to the clique. They did have their unique, still had like their fun, unique ending that I thought was pretty funny with them running and then doing a picture. And it was like, it always was changing. It wasn't like the same thing over and over. But I mean, for the most part, it was just like, you know, really just harem jokes. And then like, I don't remember if the main character was this dense, but like, just, he has like no understanding that the girls have like a crush on him. Like, he's like negative, if you could even go to a negative side of understanding or knowledge.
So yeah, he got dumber.
Oh yeah, dude, he's like ridiculously stupid.
It's, I guess watch season two.
Yeah, it's like,
I guess not.
Yeah, he's like they capture him and he's like sitting in like, he's like, he has to do these like, they're like doing these stage plays and they all have like 5 minutes to like induce him. And then he has to like pick like which one he liked the best. And he just like says the dumbest stuff. And it's just like, I don't know what I said wrong. And then it's just like, you dense motherfucker. Do you not understand?
So basically this season is like the Cars 2 sequel as opposed to one that's actually good.
Yeah, pretty much. I just felt like I was kind of like, it's just like, come on, man. Like, what do they have to do at this point? Like, when will you understand?
Right. Oh, man, that sucks. Like, sometimes you, it's like that, you know, you be careful what you wish for, you might just get it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Pretty much. But, I mean, is it as bad as some of the bad ones you've watched, or is it, like, at least better than some? Like, because a couple weeks ago you had one that you were just like, I wouldn't even watch this at all. Like, I want to apologize to myself for making me watch it, so I'm not going to make you watch it.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's like right on the line of not even watching it.
Like, if you have other anime, which there's tons of, watch that.
Exactly.
Stop. Good. You're not missing anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother.
All right, fair enough. Because I could have swore, like, I looked, but I guess maybe that was when it was on Crunchyroll or something. Because I could have swore I watched. Remember seeing them like do the plays or something, unless it was a different anime that had a similar concept.
There was random plays in it. Like I told you, man, it was like all about the harem story. It had like, I think eight episodes about the harem and like maybe four episodes about like actual story. Like, it was ridiculous.
Like, the fighting and the suit stuff in that show was awesome in the first season.
Oh, I know. That's what I was excited to see, but alas, denied.
Oh man! So speaking of excited to see, Sean, I finally got a chance to watch Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it took me a while to figure out what like the tone of this movie was. And you know, like how Marvel has the What If series of comics, soon to be animated show on Disney Plus, where they're just like, hey, what happens if, like, you know, Mary Jane got bit by the spider instead of, Peter Parker? And then, like, one of the ones that they've announced for Disney Plus show is, what happens if Agent Carter got the Captain America injection instead of Steve Rogers?
Interesting.
Right? Yeah. But they have nothing to do with the actual universe. They're just one-offs that tell an interesting story for the sake of telling an interesting story.
Is it going to be like a season or be like an episode?
Well, it'll be like,
or a movie.
It'll be a whole season, but each episode will be a different what if, like a one-shot, kind of like the comics.
Okay, interesting.
And it's animated, and they announced that they're either have or are working to get all the original actors to come back to do the voices.
Oh, nice. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
I bet they would be more down to do that than do like the full filming.
Right. And I'm sure, again, like, it'd be interesting to, like, if they tell interesting, good stories like that. Like, I'd really like to see Peggy Carter. I'm sure she wouldn't mind playing Captain America for a, 30-minute episode.
Yeah, exactly.
So having said that, basically, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is a what if with the whole Charles Manson killings.
Okay, interesting.
So, like, it kind of the main characters are Matt Damon and what is his name? He's married to Jennifer, was dating Jennifer Aniston, then moved on to Angelina Jolie. Brad Pitt.
Yes.
There it is. Matt Damon and Brad Pitt. So Matt Damon is like an aging Western actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Brad Pitt is his stuntman, but because Matt Damon isn't necessarily getting any work, and Brad Pitt was like tied to him.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Damon also can't drive himself because he got too many DUIs. So basically, Matt Damon has hired Brad Pitt to be his like assistant / driver.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still like they're friends, so they kind of hang out and stuff. But
gotcha.
There's that story going on, and then meanwhile, like the neighbors are the Tates.
Mm-hmm.
Like Margot Robbie plays Sharon Tate, who was pregnant, and she was like one of the people that were murdered by the Manson family.
Oh wow!
And so then, like Kevin Smith's daughter's in it. She plays one of the girls in the Manson's cult. And so basically, it's just Hollywood at the time. Like, there's a scene where Brad Pitt's character gets in a fight with Bruce Lee that had, like, Bruce Lee's family upset about it and a lot of Asian Americans. Because, like, he was kind of cocky. Like, and they're like, he would never do that, like, in real life. And it's like, yeah, but this isn't real life. This is, like, a what if kind of story. So everything in here is off.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
But it's almost 3 hours long, and it really, really feels like 3 hours long.
Wow. Like
the movie is because you have like three different stories kind of setting up. You have the, you know, Matt Damon and Brad Pitt, then you have the Manson family, and then you have, you know, the neighbors, and there's like a narrator and kind of trying to tie them all together. And so I mean, it's good, but it's, if you like Tarantino and want to watch all his movies, that's pretty much the main reason you would want to watch this. But it's not his best. I would, if you really want to watch a Tarantino movie, watch I had two of them in my head and I lost both of them. The one where Django Unchained, or the one where Brad Pitt is killing, like, wants to go kill Hitler with which one.
Yeah.
Inglourious Bastards.
Yes. I still haven't seen that one.
That's really good. And again, that's kind of a what if story too, in a way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think Tarantino's too worried about movies based in reality, more just telling an interesting story.
True.
And, you know, dropping as many F-bombs into a movie as he can.
I mean, isn't that the point? So that way you have a fun drinking game to play?
Well, only if you want to die.
Well, I didn't say it was a game for the week.
Well, just be careful what you drink. You don't want to be, like, drinking, like, you know, barrel-proof whiskey. Maybe get a mixed drink or something.
Get like a Gose at 4%.
Yeah, some sort of session. Get a sessionable beer, because it's going to be a big session. And then I watched with my wife, you know what's funny? I've been watching another podcast that on Friday nights they do like a virtual happy hour over Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime one of them mentions their wife, at least one of the other ones will do the whole Borat, my wife. Which I haven't seen Borat, but that's like the one joke I know from that movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, with the whole coronavirus thing going on, Disney Plus is putting movies on their streaming service much, much faster than they would have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So they put the movie Onward on Disney Plus. Like they put it up like they did with the previous movie where you could watch it digital download, but pay for it digitally for like a week, and then or if you could wait a week, then you could watch it for free on Disney Plus. Man, so this movie is like super based in like Dungeons and Dragons lore, right?
Yes.
And so like the brother who's voiced by Chris Pratt, the older brother, and then the younger brother is Tom Holland. So it's basically Star-Lord and Spider-Man in a movie together, at least voice-wise.
Fair enough.
You know, basically, like, the youngest one is turning 16, and through, like, a gift from their dad, they get a spell where they could bring him back for 24 hours. And you see it in the trailer that it goes awry, and they only bring back his bottom half. And so they go on a quest to try to get his upper half.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the movie's kind of focusing on the father relationship and like the and him and his brother. And so a lot of some people have complained about the movie, like, disregarding the mom's role in raising them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's more focusing on, like, the mom. The son shows appreciation for the mom the whole movie. It's not like he doesn't appreciate her, but he feels like he's missing out because he didn't have a dad, and he realizes that, you know, as much as him and his brother didn't really get along at points, that his brother did a lot of all the things that he thought he would do with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his brother basically was the parental figure in his life, but, well, at least the father figure. And so it's a really good movie. Like, this movie, watching it, like, it's the equivalent of what Frozen was for sisters. This is for brothers.
Mm, gotcha.
Because brothers don't shake hands.
They just give hugs.
Brothers got a hug. Exactly, Sean. But if you have Disney
Not
Plus,
anymore, though.
Not anymore.
Can't hug.
Virtual hugs.
Virtual beer sessions now.
Exactly. Virtual beer session, virtual hugs from behind, all of those.
Dude, my clan's doing virtual fires.
Like everybody's like sitting around a fire pit, like on Twitch, or like it's a digital fire on the screen?
I think on Skype or Twitch, like one of them just is filming a fire in his yard, and everybody just like, I guess they're all just hanging out on voice chat, just bullshitting, talking, and drinking beer.
Wait. You said your clan is doing digital fires. Is there a particular shape of the fire?
No. There's no shape. It's a real life fire being recorded.
Is it time to?
How dare you? How dare you bring that up?
It's a lowercase t. What does that mean? I think it means it's time to leave.
Probably.
Oh man, that's an episode of South Park, by the way. Because like they're mad because a bunch of black families are moving in, but they're all like upper class, like rich families, so they're buying all the real estate, and so the poor South Park people get all mad that the richers are moving in.
Richers.
Yes, and they burn a lowercase t on their front yard to signify that it's time for them to leave.
Wow.
Yes, only shit that South Park can get away with.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's a pretty good movie. Near the end, there was a point where I looked over at my wife and I was like, is one of our neighbors cooking? Are they like chopping onions? Because it's a little weird.
Why is it so sensitive in here? My eyes are burning.
Right. Like, I never thought I was that sensitive to onions, that a neighbor cooking like something with onions would make my eyes water, but it was just weird. And then I watched the new Hellboy movie as... bring it back around to the beer that I'm drinking. You know what? I don't really understand why this movie got so much hate.
I mean, it's definitely unique.
Did you watch it?
I have seen. I did watch it when I was in California last time.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's pretty intense, but I mean, I don't think the story is all that bad.
No, and like reading about it, like they're talked about how that it was received negative reviews with the criticism aimed at the story, inconsistent tone, and excessive gore. And it's like, well, they announced from the beginning that they wanted it to be like a hard R, like a hard racist R.
Yeah,
I'm sure you could relate to that.
You bastard.
So you know, because they even got like Mike Mignola to, you know, be more involved in this one than he did with the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really necessarily see too much inconsistencies in the story. Like, it wasn't perfect, but, you know, people complained about, like, I thought it was better than Hellboy 2, for sure.
Yeah.
But not the original. Like, and I think part of the problem was that, and I thought this was more of an issue, was that Ron Perlman did such an amazing job as Hellboy that David Harbour was like part of the reason why people were crapping on it. But the praises were for the makeup effects and for his performance. I thought David Harbour did really good.
No, I enjoyed him as Hellboy. I thought he was, he did the role very well. To your point, I mean, yeah, what's the other guy is true, is the original Hellboy, but I don't think this guy did bad.
No. And comparatively, it's a pretty close performance. It's not like the trying to compare like Gene Hackman and Johnny Depp for their Willy Wonka performance. You know, these are legit close, like the wisecracking, the you know, there's that scene where he fights the trolls. Like that seemed very Hellboy. Like the fact that he's just like, you know, had almost died and he's just pissed that he got betrayed and then he has to go fight the trolls, and he's just like, all right, fine, let's do this. And he just gets, you know, he's overpowered, but in a good way. I don't know. It's just fun to watch him kick ass.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely gets his ass beat quite a bit in the movie. It's not like he's perfect or anything. I think, the over gore stuff was kind of the only, like, I think annoying thing. It was kind of like, all right, like this isn't like that magical. Like, we need to tone it down a little bit.
Right, because if but I think again, like the how in Logan, the director wanted to make it R-rated, and the studio was like, we don't really want it to be R-rated, and then he dropped as many F-bombs in it as he could, so that if they edited it to not be R, it would just been awkward. That's literally what he said. Like he took the killing and the F-bombs overboard, so that the studio couldn't edit around it and lower the rating because he wanted it to be an R. But like this movie set up a sequel that I'm guaranteeing you probably isn't going to happen, because this movie only made $44 million against a production budget of $50 million, and that doesn't even count the advertising and whatever that also went into
Jesus.
it.
That's not
Yes.
very good.
No,
I'm
it's
not an
not.
accountant, but that doesn't sound very good.
That's not how you make it. Yeah, it tends to be bad when you lose a minimum of $6 million. I don't know. I have a feeling this movie though could be like a cult favorite, kind of like similar to how like the prequels originally were hated, but now apparently everyone loves the prequels to the point where they have like one of the most popular subreddits.
I mean, it is what it is.
I think, you know, as much as I think some people on Reddit hate it, I think one of my favorite things that's going on the prequel memes subreddit is them just giving General Grievous a new lightsaber for every day. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
I think he has like something like, I think he's up to in the 50s right now with lightsabers, so they just add an arm and a lightsaber every day. So he's up in the 50s of arms and lightsabers.
That's pretty ridiculous.
Is. You know, it's stupid, but it makes me smile. Oh man, but then, you know, I was gonna get the new Terminator movie, Dark Fate, but I realized I hadn't watched Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, right?
No, I guess if you didn't, then there's no reason to jump that far ahead.
Right. Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter because, you know, Terminator Dark Fate basically eliminated that movie from the timeline anyways.
Gotcha.
It basically made it so that only Terminator 1 and 2 and then Dark Fate are the only three movies that exist in the timeline now, currently.
Gotcha.
It was a complete like DC or Marvel reboot. They got rid of the TV show, they got rid of everything, all the other movies with that no one remembers that had like Christian Bale and Sam Worthington.
Yeah, it's all worthless.
But it's funny, you know, because when Terminator Dark Fate came out, people were complaining that it's like, this is stupid that there's a woman, you know, that's kicking ass and this and that, and it's like, did you not watch Terminator 3? Because the Terminator and that was also a woman, and she also kicked ass.
Yeah.
But then people were tearing it apart, like this movie is so stupid with like plot holes. Like if she can turn to metal, how come this door closing on her leg, she was trapped? Why didn't she just turn to metal? And it's like, dude, if you watch every movie with that fucking fine-tooth comb, man. Like no movie will pass your test.
Right.
Right.
Like, don't just go out there and criticize the movies that you want to find a reason to criticize. Like, literally watch every movie. You know? Because everything has inconsistencies in plot. Don't be a fucking asshole, man. Just enjoy the movie. Like, let that one go by. Like, there's small things that, like that. It's like, all right, fine. That probably shouldn't have happened, but it's not going to make me hate the whole movie. It's a minor detail. But then one of the things I really liked about this was that they set up the rest of the universe, because at the end they didn't stop Skynet. Like
Gotcha.
it was like Claire Danes and John Connor, like Claire Danes' character, who's like one of the lieutenants and ends up being like Mary's John Connor, you know, in the future. Mm-hmm. Like her dad works for the military and he's basically the guy that makes Skynet. And so then he gives them a location that has the CPU for Skynet so they can destroy it, and they get there and it's just like a bunker for like VIPs. Like there's even like a podium for the president. And like they're down there like, where's the CPU? And then all of a sudden they like both look at each other and realize it's like, wait, this is a bunker. Like this is supposed to be filled with like the government, and none of them made it. And like the whole movie he's like, I'm not the leader type, I'm not the leader type. And then at the end, you know, as the bombs are going off, you hear like the radio start firing up, asking for help, and he jumps on and he's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm John Connor. He's like, well, who's in charge there? I am. And then the movie ends, you know?
Yeah.
Except that didn't happen anymore. And so Dark Fate, man, like, it brings, because Linda Hamilton died in Terminator 2. She's back. She didn't die. Well, she died at like Terminator 3, I guess. They established that she had died. Because in Terminator 2, she disappeared.
She just ran away for another day.
Well, she went down to Mexico.
Fair enough.
And so, this one, I don't know, man. Like, I like Michael Bay movies, Sean. I'm not going to lie. They're dumb and they're explosive and they got, like, girls in, like, low-cut shirts.
And boom, and oh, yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not watching this. It's like, I like McDonald's every once in a while. You know, like, you're just sitting there and it's been, like, a couple years and you're like, you know what? I'm kind of craving a Big Mac. And you get that Big Mac and you're like, you know what? I'm good on Big Macs for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's like Michael Bay movies. Like, you're not watching that. Or even, like, ice cream. Like, right? Ice cream is delicious, but you can't eat ice cream every day.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't watch Michael Bay movies only. It's a little excessive. But every once in a while, man, sometimes you need that palate cleanser of mindlessness and explosives and, like, Megan Fox bending over in a weird angle, quote-unquote, looking under the hood of the car, even though she's just, like, trying to show you her ass and her tits at the same time.
Yeah.
Back when she was hot before she got rich and plastic surgery ruined her, so.
Yep, that happens.
Right. But yeah, so that's my thoughts. Like, movies like Terminator, like, you're not supposed to walk away from that, like, I'm more enriched as a human being. It's fucking robots from the future coming back in time, blowing shit up. And there's some crazy ass stunts in this movie. Both of them. And it's amazing. I mean, just for nostalgia's sakes, Terminator 3 holds up really well too. Like the special effects, like sometimes you watch movies that are even like 5 or 10 years old and you're like, yeah, these special effects are garbage. These ones hold up.
Well, that's pretty good.
Right. And, you know, like, people compare them to, like, the first Terminator, like, how, like, the tone of the movie was different and how it was dark and, you know, less violence and more psychological. And it's like, they filmed that way because they had to, not because they wanted to. Because they didn't have the budget. And so a lot of the scenes in that movie were filmed without permits. Like, guerrilla filming. So,
gotcha.
they would go in like to the LA River in the middle of the night when no one was around, set up, film real quick, and hope they could get out of there before somebody calls the cops and the cops actually show up. Or like abandoned warehouse, abandoned buildings. Same thing. Like, well, let's just use this building. Nobody's renting it or whatever. It's abandoned. We'll just film this scene in here tonight, and hopefully we'll be gone by the morning before like somebody calls the cops. And as it got, you know, as that movie got popular and the second one got a bigger budget, and everyone after that got a bigger budget. So, blame the people for watching the movie, Sean.
Gotta blame it on the alcohol.
Exactly. And so then I watched La Llorona. La Llorona. I don't really want to say Llorona. It's Llorona, which basically means the crying woman. It's like an old.
That sounds pretty fancy.
It is, dude. It's like basically like a Mexican folk tale that they tell kids to behave. Kind of like the boogeyman in a way. El Cucuy is another one that they have, but this one is La Llorona. And so basically the story is that this woman was married and had two sons. And she caught her husband cheating on her with somebody younger. And so to take revenge on her husband, she decided to take away the thing he loved the most, so she murdered her two sons. And
that's
immediately...
That's pretty fucking intense.
It is, dude. I mean, this is, again, you know, you're scaring kids. And so she immediately regretted her decision and, like, found her, and she was just sitting next to the body of water where she drowned the kids crying. And so the story now is that if you misbehave, she'll come and try to take you as her own kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so this movie, the main character in it is Linda Cardellini. If you watched the TV show Freaks and Geeks or the Scooby-Doo movie, or she was Hawkeye's wife in the Avengers movie for that brief couple seconds before she turned to dust and never was seen again.
Yeah.
I mean, she was snapped back, but we just didn't see that. We heard the phone call, but we didn't see her.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So basically the story, like, she's a social worker, and she shows up to this house that she's dealt with before, and, like, the kids haven't been to school, and so they find the kids locked in a room, and the mom's like, no, leave them in there. They're hiding. And they have burns and stuff on her, and the kid, she's like, who did this? And it's like, she did, and they thought the kids meant the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so shit goes down, and basically her family gets cursed. And so she's like, there's a scene where she's talking to a priest, and he tries to give her, like, a rosary beads with a cross on it, and she's like, oh, I'm not the religious one. My husband was.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a widow. Like, her husband passed away when the kid was a cop. And so it's pretty fucked up. And then I didn't know this, but it's tied into the Annabelle universe.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that was a thing.
I didn't either. Well, like, there's, like, the nut, like, there's another, it might even be the same one, there's another universe where, like, one of the movies is, like, The Nun. Like, they're all part of, like, the same, like, quote-unquote universe, but they're not the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, because there's the priest, I didn't recognize him at first, and I looked it up, and it is him, but he was in Annabelle. And so, but she's talking to him, and she's like, do you believe in stuff like this? And he's like, I didn't until, and then they show him, like, make the face of, I'm having a flashback. And they show the flashback, and it's the Annabelle doll.
Oh, wow. That's pretty intense.
So they're like, just in case you're not aware, this is part of the same universe on purpose. This is why they're the same actors are in these movies that are in other movies. It's not a...
Gotcha.
So I don't know. I mean, I know you're not going to watch it because you don't like scary movies.
Spooky. It's too spooky for me.
It is. But it did have... Linda Cardellini, and she's pretty cute. I've always had a crush on her ever since I watched Freaks and the Geeks. Did you ever watch the Freaks and Geeks, Sean?
I did not.
That was the movie that kind of basically, that TV show, I mean, that where, like, I can't think of the name of the director, but he's the one that did, like, worked with, like, Seth Rogen and James Franco and the guy that was on Freaks and, I mean, on How I Met Your Mother as well, that was on, does all, I'm forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Dude, I haven't seen Saving Sarah Marshall in so long.
Right, but, like, basically that's where they all kind of got their start. James Franco, Jason Segel. Jason Segel is the one. Busy Phillips, that's where she got her, but Judd Apatow and Paul Feig.
Gotcha.
So that's where, like, Seth Rogen and Paul Feig kind of started working together, and they did, like, Superbad and a bunch of different, like, movies like that together. And Paul Feig also did, like, Bridesmaids and the Ghostbusters movie and Spy and Heat and Heavyweights back in the day. So there's, like, a lot of big names came out of that show.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Fox. And, of course, like, Fox, they didn't know how to market it, so they, like, Family Guy, so they just canceled it after one season. Even though it was amazing. Or even, like, Firefly was another one that everyone loved until they kept moving it around. It's like, I'm going to watch Firefly. It's on Mondays. And then the next week, you flip on Monday, you go to watch it on Monday, and it's not on Mondays anymore, and you have to find it.
Yeah, that's a shame. Firefly had a pretty interesting universe going on.
Yeah, speaking of interesting universes, thank you for the segue, Sean.
That's what I'm here for.
Occasionally, yes, you're helpful.
Not all the time, just sometimes.
No. So I watched a biographical movie. Tolkien, apparently, is the correct pronunciation of his name, J.R.R. Tolkien.
Mm-hmm.
Because they make sure to point that out in the movie at least twice.
Yeah.
But basically, it's the story of, it kind of goes back and forth between him being young and an orphan and living with this, like, at this woman that's kind of boarding him and this his brother and this other girl that he ends up eventually marrying.
Mm-hmm.
And him in World War, and then him going to like through school, meeting his friends and stuff, and then him entering World War One.
Gotcha.
And so it goes to the war scenes and it flashes back and goes to the war scenes and flashes back. And so it shows him how he created the his languages for the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas Holt is the actor that they got to play Tolkien. Do you recognize the name?
No, I don't.
He was in the movie Warm Bodies, which, if you haven't seen, is actually a pretty funny, zombie rom-com. But the one you probably would have seen him in is that new X-Men movies. He played Beast.
Oh, gotcha. I know who you're talking about now.
Yes. He's a much better actor than his movies, at least those movies. You know, he's a good actor. He plays a good Tolkien. And then Lily Collins plays the girl that eventually he marries, who's the daughter of Phil Collins, and she was in one of the Disney remakes. But she's super adorable. But yeah, if you're interested in The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings mythology and where that kind of came from, it's not quite as hokey as they made a movie about Charles Dickens, how he wrote one of his plays. And he'd be walking down the street and some random shit would happen. And he's like, hey, that's interesting. I should put that in my book. You know? It wasn't that on the nose. It was just friends that he made that, you know, that died in the war, and Erwin was based on his wife. You know, just simple stuff like that. It wasn't some zany coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
He's buying bread and somebody says or does something random and stupid, and he's like, I'm gonna put you in my book. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
That is kind of random.
It's like Saving Christmas or something like that is the name of the book, but it's I think it's the Christmas story. The Christmas Carol is the book that he's writing, Charles Dickens. And yeah, just some random stupid shit that would never necessarily happen in real life, where it's like, come on, man, chill with all these weird coincidences. you're almost insulting the author at some points with some of the things that are happening, that he had no creativity to come up with that on his own, that if he hadn't seen some dude carrying chains around or something, you know?
Yeah.
Oh man. But yeah, dude, that's, even though I'm not stuck at home during the week, I'm a quote unquote essential. I've been trying to watch a movie. I've been pretty much watching a movie successfully every day. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it has been. Well, I've just been I've been playing Persona 5 it's another full-time job. So it's not like I have any plans to do anything. It's just keep the house generally clean, and then it's okay. What do you do? Because you know you're not going out.
You're pursuing your waifu dreams. Royally pursuing your waifu dreams.
Yep. I already hooked up with my waifu. Now it's just time to finish the game.
So having played it through the first time, did you basically cheat because you knew the right answers?
I'm definitely looking up. I actually have a chat guide and everything, just because I'm trying to power through a lot of the relationship, so I could see the story versus you know, having an overall challenge of the game.
Okay, you just want to see the new story.
Yeah, well, I guess, and then explore some of the storylines that I didn't really wasn't able to look at before, because I was occupied trying to figure out the game the first time and only selecting who I wanted to kind of work with and level up.
Right, because the first time I played a Persona game was Persona 3, and friend of the show, Man Thing, his suggestion was, because there was a certain character that I wanted to waifu up, and he was like, look, man, just play the game. The first time, play the game, and if you want to go back through and see what happens when you waifu her up, if you don't happen to do it the first time, then you'll know what you need to do and say. But the first time, you should focus on the story and playing the story.
Did you tell him, Fool, it's all about the waifus? It's not about the story?
Right. Well, when I played 4, like, I had my the main waifu I wanted to try to hook up with, but it didn't work out, so I guess and I think I got a little, like, not so much impatient, but paranoid that, like, I lost my chance.
Yeah.
And then to find out I could have, because, like, I waifued up one character, and then literally, like, within a week, the one that wanted to waifu up, Chie,
yeah,
she was, like, in my bedroom, like, shit, I could have totally waifued her up right now.
Yep.
And then, you know, I guess you can waifu, like, the one thing about, is Persona 5, like, 4, where you can waifu them all up as long as you don't hang out on Sundays and get caught?
You could from what I've read, is you could make everybody your waifu, and then on Valentine's Day, you get your ass handed to you.
Oh, okay. Cause, like,
but there's no, like, serious consequence.
Well, yeah, in Persona 4, it was you just lowered everybody except for, like you end up you having to pick one. Because it's, like, Sunday is, like, free day. Mm-hmm. And so if you're, like, walking around with one of the girls and all the other girls come up and it's like, wait, we were supposed to hang out. Yeah. If you pick all the relationships lower except for the one that you were actually hanging out with.
Gotcha.
Is your
rather than just making them your friend.
Right.
Gotcha.
Well, I think they go back to the friend zone as opposed to, like, waifu zone.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah.
Yeah, because, the waifu zone, like, doesn't really add any additional perks or anything. It's the same as the friend zone.
Pretty much. Yeah, I was reading a thing. I played the demo, not the game, but apparently somebody was complaining that the easy mode in Final Fantasy VII was too easy.
What?
Yeah, it was like some.
Is that a thing?
Apparently,
it's too easy.
Right. Because, like,
shouldn't be easy mode just be like you're just playing for the story and you don't really have to like prepare and do grinding and all that shit.
Pretty much, yeah. Because, like, even like, but there's other games like Fallen Order. They had like 4 levels of mode,
mm-hmm.
and they had easy. They had an easy mode, but then they also had like a story mode, which was like beyond easy mode,
mm-hmm.
where you can just like blink it, like look at the enemies and they die.
Yeah,
but you get the story. So jeez. I don't know, man. I'm sure if easy mode was hard, they'd be complaining that easy mode was too hard. Kind of like I've been playing a lot of Halo Wars,
mm-hmm.
the first to kind of just kill like wind down before I go to bed if I have time.
Yeah,
nothing where I have to think or like get stressed out about, and. The difference between, like, normal mode and heroic mode is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I mow over the opposing teams in normal mode. And then, like, I sit there and I send my whole, like, group of, like, Marines after, like, one tank in heroic mode. And, like, I end up with, like, half of them gone before the tank is destroyed.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's not
easy.
And not,
aren't
like,
they supposed to be able to take out the tank easy?
A little bit. Well,
oh, no, they're good against air. That's right.
Right. But it shouldn't be that hard where you lose half of your people, like, to take out one tank.
I don't know, man. It's just the rules of war.
I know. But it's just because when it's on normal mode, I don't lose any units when I take out a tank.
Yeah.
It's like, brrr, gone. And then the other one is like, brrr. You know, they have the special mode where you push Y to do their secondary attack, which is rocket launchers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the first, on normal mode, like I do that once and the tank explodes. This one, it's like I can do, and there's a timer on it, so you can't spam it.
Yeah.
So it takes long enough where I can, like, fire off my special attack twice on the tank.
Gotcha.
It's just become bullet sponges, and it's fucking bullshit. Is my point.
That's fine.
Like, I don't mind when things get more challenging, but when, like, going up a level in difficulty just means things are become bullet sponges and they do more damage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, true.
So, I don't know. But yeah, I think we're good on this episode, Sean. How about you?
I got nothing else to add, bro. Yeah, it's all been said.
I think my gigantic barley wine is in my head.
Yeah, I'm out of beer. It's time to go back to maybe getting a snack and then looking at what to do the rest of the day. The day's still, order some beers. Yeah, the day's still early for you.
Yes, order some beers from Double Nickel. Support local business.
Oh, boy. Here we go. I'll look into it. I'll look into it.
Yeah. Too bad you can't go, like, because I sent you that message. I found that I found out about that brewery in Philadelphia. Is that too far for you to go to?
Philly's not that far. I'd have to do more looking.
I think it's like 16 miles north of Philadelphia is what the person who was talking about it said.
Oh, that is kind of far then.
Is it?
That might be pretty far.
They have a haberdashery that makes custom made hats out of beaver pelts.
That's pretty intense.
Isn't it?
Jeez.
Sean, I might have to order a beaver pelt hat customized from that haberdashery. If I go visit you, we'll have to go out there.
Oh, boy. All right.
Tell people I have to do a haberdashery. That's a fun word.
True. I guess if the brewery thing is canceled or the beer thing is canceled and we're able to travel again, you're going to come out?
Actually, I was thinking if my wife's cousins were supposed to come out, if they cancel, maybe I could figure out a way to work it where I can go out there like in July.
We'll see if we're allowed to hang out.
Yeah, because it's not, I mean, like, I guess if you're going there for, like without road trip company, then it's kind of too far, but 16 miles, it's like, east. It's like not California, 16 miles, so it's not going to take you an hour to get there.
True. All right, everybody, we will see you next time. Make sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher on Facebook and Twitter, all those magical places.
Instagram, Untapped. Give us some reviews. Tell us you like us. You really like us.
You really, really like us.
Exactly. And if you don't like us, then private message us on Instagram and we'll fire Sean.
Fair enough. All right.